Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
हरे कृष्ण. जिनको हिंदी में सुनना है, हिंदी भाषा इंग्लिश में लेक्चर होगा, तो हिंदी वाले भक्त पीछे जा सकते हैं. पीछे रसाल प्रभु जी ट्रांसलेशन कर रहे हैं हिंदी में. हरे कृष्ण.
सो आई वॉन्ट टू थैंक एवरी वन दिस मॉर्निंग फॉर कमिंग एंड फॉर अलाउिंग मी टू टेक पार्ट इन दिस वेरी स्पेशल फंक्शन ऑफ हियरिंग एंड स्पीकिंग ऑन श्रीमद् भागवतम. द 11th कैंट ऑफ द भागवतम स्टेट्स Parasparam Katanam Pavanam Bhagavad-Yasaha. We should learn how to associate with devotees by coming together and hearing and chanting. This is the most important thing. The Skanda Purana describes that in a Sangha like this, when devotees come together to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's some bliss. Why is that bliss there? Because someone else is present in that Sangha. Someone else that you don't see perhaps with your eyes. Skanda Purana states, Srimad Bhagavatam Shastram Yatra Bhagavatara Yada Kirtyate Shuyate Chapi Shri Krishna's Tatra Nishchitam. Wherever and whenever devotees of Krishna come together, this doesn't take place in the university, but when devotees come together and they hear and recite Srimad Bhagavatam, then you should know for certain that Krishna comes running to that place. He's also present. And Krishna's not alone. Srimad Bhagavatam Yatra Shlokam Shlokardam Evacha Tatrapi Bhagavan Krishna Balavi Virajate. Whenever you recite one verse, shloka, or shlokarda, half a verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna comes, and he comes along with the gopis. So this reciting Srimad Bhagavatam is the heart of our movement. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said once that we've opened temples simply for the purpose that people can come together and hear and speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So we feel very privileged to be able to get this association today. So we'd like to come to the verse. We're reading from Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 10, the battle between the demigods and Dhritarashtra. Is this right?
It's not the same verse. Krita?
Yeah, this is it. Okay, I'm sorry. Please repeat. Shri Badarayana Uvacha Evam Krita Vivasito Evam Krita Vivasito Dadyan Artavanastanum Dadyan Artavanastanum Pare Bhagavati Brahmani Pare Bhagavati Brahmani Atmanam Sanayanjaho Atmanam Sanayanjaho. Others? Shri Badarayana Uvacha. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Evam, thus, Kritta Vivasitaha, making certain of what to do in giving his body to the demigods. Dadyan, the Dichi Muni, Atarvanaha, the son of Atarva. Tanum, his body. Pare, to the supreme. Bhagavati, personality of Godhead. Brahmani, the supreme Brahman. Atmanam, himself, the spirit soul. Sanayan, offering. Jaho, gave up. Translation, Sri Shukadev Goswami said, Dadichi Muni, the son of Atharva, thus resolved to give his body to the service of the demigods. He placed himself, the spirit soul, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in this way gave up his gross material body made of five elements. Please repeat, Sri Shukadev Goswami said, Dadichi Muni, the son of Atharva, thus resolved to give his body to the service of the demigods. He placed himself, the spirit soul, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in this way gave up his gross material body made of five elements. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As indicated by the words, Pare Bhagavati Brahmanyatmanam Sannayan, Dadichi placed himself as spirit soul at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, one may refer to the incident of Dhritarashtra's leaving his body, as described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.55. Dhritarashtra analytically divided his gross material body into the five different elements of which it was made, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and distributed them to the different reservoirs of these elements. In other words, he merged these five elements into the original Mahat-tattva. By identifying his material conception of life, he gradually separated his spirit soul from material connections and placed himself at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The example given in this connection is that when an earthen pot is broken, the small portion of the sky within the pot is united with the large sky outside the pot. Mayavadi philosophers misunderstand this description of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Sri Ramanuja Swami, in his book Vedanta Tattvasar, has described that this merging of the soul means that after separating himself from the material body made of eight elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, false ego, mind, and intelligence, the individual soul engages himself in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His eternal form, Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchid Ananda Vigraha Anadhiradhir Govinda Sarva Karna Karnam. No quote. The material cause of the material elements absorbs the material body, and the spiritual soul assumes its original position. As described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivar Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas, the constitutional position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. When one overcomes the material body through cultivation of spiritual knowledge and devotional service, one can revive his own position and thus engage in the service of the Lord. We should understand that Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam, Sanatana Goswami says, Mad eka bandho mat sangin. Srimad Bhagavatam is my only friend. You think you have other friends, but they're not really friends. How long will they be friends? A few years, a few months, maybe one lifetime. But after this lifetime, that friendship will be lost. But mad ekabando, mat sangin. My only real friend, my only real association is Srimad Bhagavatam. And similarly, whatever friendships we may make in this material world, and they're important that we make friends with devotees, those friendships are based on association with Srimad Bhagavatam, because mad ekabando, Srimad Bhagavatam is our only friend. So if we associate on the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam, that's real friendship. So this Srimad Bhagavatam cares about us, and it has a message for us. And when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, we should be looking, what is Krishna trying to say to me today? He has a message just for me. So what is the relevance of this purport for us? How many devotees here think that you may leave your body someday by analytically dividing the gross material body into the five different elements of which it's made? Earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Raise your hand. How many devotees are contemplating doing that? It's a very important thing. So how is this relevant to us? Don't think it's not relevant. If we can't see the relevance, then we have to look deeper. Because Krishna is always speaking to us. Srila Prabhupada is always speaking to us. The Mayavadis have a misunderstanding. Once, there was one Vaishnav temple. And one Mayavadi, he became annoyed. Why these Vaishnavas are going and preaching like this? Maybe you experience that sometimes also. In Punjabi Bhag, they become upset. You're going and distributing the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So he came and he did some graffiti. He wrote on the wall of the temple, Soham. I'm him. So then one Vaishnav came and he saw, what is this nonsense fellow doing? So he added one syllable before that. Da. Da, and it became Dasoham. I'm his servant. Very good. And then the Mayavadi came back and he saw, what is this? Dasoham, not good. So then he added another syllable before that, sa. So then it became, sadasoham. I'm eternally him. And the Vaishnav came back again. What's this nonsense fellow doing? So then again he added da, and it became, dasadasoham. I am the servant of his servant. So this is our Vaishnava philosophy. And this is the difference between the Mayavadis and the Vaishnavas. They have a misunderstanding of basic principles in the Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada says here that some Mayavadi philosophers, they misunderstand this section of the Bhagavatam and this merging of the living entity with the body with the different elements. This is also, this type of leaving the body is also described in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in chapter 15. In his Saartha Darshini commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is given some explanation of the disappearance of Yudhisthira Maharaj and how Yudhisthira also left his body in a very similar way. And Vishwanath begins by stating how words, vacha, words, are the wife of the mind. Very interesting point. Words are the wife of the mind. You can understand someone when you see their wife. If she has a black eye and is bruised in a very heavy way and is going around like this, it means maybe that husband's not behaving very nicely. But if you see she's very shining and is a very, very good devotee, then you can understand maybe he's also a nice devotee. So when we hear someone speak, we can understand their mind, because words are the wife of the mind. So Yudhisthira, he offered all the senses into the mind, beginning with a sense of speech, vacha, vacha vegam, because all the senses are dependent on the mind. And then he offered the mind into the prana, the life air, because the mind is dependent on prana. In the Chandogya Upanishad, there's a discussion between Uddalaka Rishi and his son, Sweta Ketu. And he tells his son how, he gives an analogy, how sometimes a bird flies into the air. But because that bird has a string tied to its foot, and its master is standing down below, although the bird may fly up into the air, the bird will always come back. Similarly, he says, the mind is bound up to the prana, or the vital air. And wherever the mind goes, it comes back to that prana. When we leave the body, we leave this gross physical body, we still have a subtle body. And that subtle body, made up of mind, intelligence, and false ego, is carried by the prana. And will change from this body then to another body. Just like air carries a fragrance, although you can't see the air, you can't see the fragrance, but it's being carried. Similarly, the mind has a close connection with the prana, with the life air. Then by giving the senses to the mind and the mind to the prana, Yudhisthira Maharaj was in essence saying, "Oh my dear mind, now I've given all my senses to you, my panchagyan indriya," and indicating and also panchatan matra, all the different elements which are being described also in this purport. They're yours, and I have no use for them now. I'm giving them up. He offered then his prana to his apana. There's different airs in the body. The apana is a downward air that causes evacuation in the body. And that apana, the presiding deity of apana, is death. Death is a presiding deity of evacuation. So, in essence, Yudhisthira Maharaj offered his voice, then his senses, his mind, and his prana, and his body to death. His meditation was then that, "Oh my dear body, you belong to death. My dear death, this body belongs to you." And he's giving that up. So when Mayavadis hear this kind of thing, they get some misunderstanding. They don't see the essential point being made. And this point is made in many different places. We'll read something a little high to you. This is from Rupa Goswami's Padyavali. After Krishna left for Mathura, Srimati Radharani, she was lamenting, and she told Lalita, "My dear friend, my dear Sakhi, if Krishna never returns to Braj, I'll never attain him, and he'll also not get me. Bereft of Krishna's service, what's the use of maintaining his body anymore?" And then Srimati Radharani began to offer a prayer. Panchatvam tanure tubhuta nivaha swamse vishantu sputam dataram prani pachahanta sirasatatrapi yachevaram tadvapi shupayas tadiha mukure jyotis tadiyangana vyomni vyoma tariya vartmani taratat talabhinte nilaha. She said, "I bow my head before the Creator and I beg from Him the benediction that when this body dies and its elements mix with the prime elements of gross matter, at that time may the water of my body mix with the water where Krishna performs His Jalakrita Leela, His water pastimes. May the fire of my body enter into the darpana, the mirror of Krishna. May the ether of my body enter the sky around Krishna's courtyard. May the earth in my body merge in the footpaths where Krishna walks. And may the air in my body be used to fan Him." the Mayavadis, they can't understand how the devotees are always serving Krishna. Dasa Daso. They're serving Krishna as a servant of the servants in whatever way they can, with every bit of their body. But the Mayavadis, they're thinking, Sadaham, that's me. Soham, I'm that person. Sadaham, I'm always that person. They have a serious misconception. So, the Vaishnavas, they're offering everything to the Lord, as described here in this verse, Atmanam Sanayan Jaho. That He offered Sanayan, Himself, Atma, to Krishna. We were speaking recently something about suicide and the concept of suicide in Bhagavad Gita. Suicide, we can say Atmavad in Sanskrit, or Atmaha, destroying the body. But it has many different meanings, because Atma refers to the self, it refers to the mind, it can refer to this body. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, unable to tolerate the idea of giving up part of his own upadis or designations in the form of his relatives, unable to, because those relatives, Bhishma Dev and Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan and other persons who are there, they compose part of his own self-identity. This is one reason why in the material world we lament on the material platform when someone leaves. Because if they're related to us, especially your mother, they say out of all the different bodily relations, the relationship with the mother is the most intense. Because she gave you your body, you took birth, your body took birth from her, and she gives you some designation, some upadi, by which you can give some understanding of who we are. So when he was faced with the prospect of having to kill all those relatives, Arjun began to lament. And he thought, better that I commit suicide. Better I put down my weapons here on the battlefield and let them kill me, unresisting. That's suicide. And Krishna then began to speak the Gita based on this Vishada Yoga, this beginning lamentation in the Gita where Arjun is lamenting, and he's representing all of us in this material world. And from this we can understand that when we begin to lament, when we come to the point that we can't tolerate it anymore, then we come to a division where we have two choices of material suicide or suicide of the body or suicide of this material life. Which is what Krishna speaks about in the Gita. Sarva dharmam parityaga, mamekam sharanam braja. Give up everything. The social suicide, he speaks. Give up. This is material suicide. Give up your life. That's atmaha. Give that thing up. And surrender everything to me. So this is the nature of the devotee when he gives up his body. And sometimes the devotee, as in the case of Yudhisthira Maharaj or the Dichi Muni, they may contemplate on merging that body with the different elements. And even Srimati Radharani, she's also giving some example of that. But their mood in doing that is not the same as the Mayavadis, who consider that they're going to merge with Brahman. Rather, they're thinking, Srimati Radharani's thinking that with this gross material body, what use is it? Let somehow all the elements of this body be used in Krishna's service. Let the water of this body merge with the water where Krishna takes bath, so I can serve Him. Let the earth of my body merge with the earth where Krishna walks, so I can serve Him in that way. Let the air of my body merge with the air that's fanning Krishna, so I can serve Him in that way. This is the mood of the Vaishnavas. They want to give everything to Krishna. Rukmini Krishna. Okay, we'll go a little bit somewhere. So this is a very interesting progression of this described in the Madhurya Kadambini, which we'd like to discuss with you. In this material world, there are two functions of false ego, ahanta and mamata, or the consciousness of I and mine. The destruction of these two things, ahanta and mamata, we want to destroy them by spiritual knowledge. And when we destroy these two things, we get liberation. But our destruction of this ahanta and mamata is not the same as the Mayavadis. We take on a new ahanta and a new mamata. And there's a progression of that through the process of devotional service, which we can perhaps see in our own lives. It's a very practical thing. When someone's ahanta, when their consciousness of themselves, their identity of themselves becomes that I'm a follower, I'm a servant of the Lord, and they make the devotees and his associates their object of their affection or mamata, then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says this is prema, the crest jewel of all goals, purushartha chudamani. In the beginning of spiritual life, our ahanta, our conception of ourself in the beginning of our spiritual life, is that I'll continue with my material life. I'm attached to that. I can't give up my career. I can't give up my material plans, my material enjoyment. But I'll become a Vaishnav and also serve the Lord. I'll also do that thing. As preachers, we should understand that most people are going to be on this platform when they begin. They're going to be looking for, what does this movement offer to me? What kind of value can it give to me? I remember earlier this year, I got a phone call from Janmashtami Prabhu in Mayapur, and he told me that he wanted to introduce me to one young scholar from America. And this scholar, who was not a devotee, he was doing some essay for the university in America and on music. And he'd come to India, and so when he was in Delhi, someone told him, hey, we should go to Vrindavan. And he said, what's Vrindavan? Oh, it's this really far out place, just south of Delhi. So yeah, why not? So he went there, and somehow he went to the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And he's a musician. So he went into the temple and he saw the 24-hour kirtan. And it was one of the most amazing experiences in his life. He'd never seen anything like that. So this is really far out. So he decided, I want to write something, a particular musical thing I want to write about. I want to write about kirtan and these Hare Krishna people. Now, he was not a devotee. And from Vrindavan, he went to Mayapur. And he stayed some, and he spoke with the devotees there. And then Janmashtami said that he advised him to come and have some talks with me, and I could tell him something further about the importance of kirtan and our history and tradition. So he wanted to know if he could spend some time with me. I said, well, we have a yatra going on here in Puri right now. If you want, you can come for part of that yatra. Yes, definitely. So he came and we had a little personal time together. And I said, but I don't have much time for you now. You can just tag along. So he tagged along. Was in the kirtans, going to the temples. And then he said, so anything else you have to tell me? I said, well, you know, we have another program starting soon. It's called the Govardhan Retreat. And I'll also be speaking there. And I think you'd really like it because there's a lot of artists and intellectuals and people like yourself who are there. And I spoke to him in that way because he was not a devotee. But he was looking for something he could get out of this process, something that would be valuable for him. So I encouraged him to come, and it turned out he had about 24 hours that he spent at Govardhan. And so I told him when we first got there, it was in the evening when he first arrived, and I said, just come with me and we'll go for a walk by Govardhan Hill. And I started telling him something about Govardhan and the tradition and how this mountain is considered to be so sacred and special. And I said, so now I'd like to do, we're just going to stand here in the dark and just listen and just experience standing next to Govardhan. And he said, well, that's really far out. He got out his tape recorder He's studying music, recording everything everywhere. And we just stood there for about, 5 minutes or something. I go over on hill and listen. And later on, when he got back to the States, he wrote me. And he said, you know, out of all my experiences in India, my most profound experience is when I was standing with you by Govardhan Hill and just listening and trying to understand and feel something of that mountain. I could really feel something there. And he was very happy because there was something useful for him. You would have to know my friend. I won't mention his name, but I would be surprised if he becomes a devotee, at least right away. But in another perspective, he is a devotee already, because he's appreciating the holy name. He's coming and chanting. And in the beginning, when we preach to people, we should understand that most of them are going to be like this. What can I get out of this? Because they're very, very selfish. This ahanta, the sense of mind, is very, very strong. So as preachers, it's a mistake to start telling them, no, that's bogus. You should just surrender everything, shave your head, move into the temple, be a brahmachari. We used to speak like that sometimes. And sometimes in the 1970s and 80s and 60s, people would actually do that in America. But that was a different time. Now people are more career-oriented. And today, for example, in Bhubaneswar, there's a school there called the Institute of Information and Science Technology, something, I can't remember. It's very bad that I don't remember because I'm one of the staff. If you go into the school, I don't know if still today, I haven't been there in a year or so, but my name was there on their board as one of the staff members, one of the teachers. How is that? A few years ago, they invited me to give a talk at some international symposium on business. And they asked me to speak about business and ethics. And later we printed that talk in the BTG, one article that we wrote, we presented. And we began that talk saying, this is very ironic that I'm standing in front of you, all of you, and speaking about business and ethics because I don't know anything about business. And if you know me personally, I'm terrible with money. Mm-hmm. But here I am standing in front of this, all these professors and international experts on this thing. Why? Because all of you, I told them, have the understanding that ethics is a very important thing. And so they were inviting me to come and speak on that. And I didn't tell them you should all become Hare Krishnas and move into the temple. Rather, I tried to offer them something, some philosophical understanding from Gaudiya Vaishnavism that would help them. And somehow they liked it very much. In this school, some people who were there, they invited me to start coming and giving talks about stress and about ethics in business. And I spoke to them in a very practical way. And I didn't speak to them about chanting Hare Krishna. I didn't have to, because I was standing in front of them with tilak and a dhoti on, and they all knew that I was a Hare Krishna. And I purposely would not speak about those things. And then every time, in the questions and answers, they would always ask me about those things naturally. So we should learn to preach like this. We understand that people, they want something from us. Let's give it to them. So at this stage, the materialistic aspect of ahanta and mamata is very thick. But by the conviction to serve the Lord, the jiva, in the very beginning, gets a gandha, just a little fragrance of spiritual life and a little bit of eligibility for bhakti. And then from that comes some sadhu sangha. You may think he was associating with sadhus before, but he wasn't really. Because sadhu sangha means to hear. And shravana adhikar, hearing, means pranipatena pariprashna sevaya. Jiva Goswami says in Bhakti Sandarbha, three things are required for qualification to hear. Otherwise, as Narottam Das Thakur says in one song, sunilena shunakana. It goes in one ear and out the other. You're hearing but not hearing. You have to surrender. You have to inquire submissively. And you have to render service. This is the beginning of sadhu sangha. Real sadhu sangha. Not just standing next to our Gurudev or the devotees. So at this stage, that ahanta and mamata become a little less. And the spiritual trace becomes a little more condensed. Still, the material aspect is absolute. It's called ajantiki. The absorption in the ego at this point of sadhu sangha, when you're actually doing sadhu sangha, is still absolute. And then comes the platform of anishtita bhajana kriya. It's bhajana kriya, you're doing bhajan, but it's anishtita, it's not fixed. Sometimes we're doing really good. And for 1 week we get up every day at 3 o'clock in the morning and we chant before Mangal Arati and we attend all the morning program. And then after the eighth or ninth day, suddenly we feel really tired. And we have a stomach ache or something happens. We get depressed because we're thinking about some girl or some boy or this thing or that thing. And I'll just sleep in this morning. And our sadhana is not fixed. It's anishita bhajana kriya. At this point, Vishnu says the ego is partially absorbed in spirit when we begin bhajana kriya, anishita bhajana kriya. He says it's ekadesha vyapini, partially absorbed in spirit. At this point, the material absorption is still purna, still absolute. And meditation on the Lord is momentary, and it's mixed with mundane topics. There's no proper smaranam. There's five different levels, five different divisions, Bhaktivinoda says in Jiva Dharma, of the platform of smarana. That's another discussion we won't go into today, but it's not fixed. So then comes the platform of nishita bhajana kriya. At that point, the ego's involvement with the bhajan becomes more pervasive. Whereas before on the platform anishita bhajana kriya, we're chanting without any fixed resolution. We're just doing it because we're supposed to. I get a little happiness from it sometimes. I get a little relief from material suffering from it. So I'm doing it. But on the platform anishita, the difference is that we begin to think about what we're doing. And Vishwanath in his commentary in the 12th chapter of the Gita says this is a difference between abhyasa or practice and manana or contemplation, where we begin to think about what we're doing. On this platform, we start to think, oh, Krishna's a person, and I should address Him when I'm chanting. He's with me right now. So at this point, the ego, the proper ego, becomes more pervasive, bahudesha vyapini, and the mundane influence is a little less. It's almost full, prayaki. And at that time, one's doing bhajan, but other things don't come into the mind when you're chanting. Just a trace and a bas, some shadow of something. Next comes a platform of ruchi, when someone gets a genuine taste. And at this point, up to now, the scale has been on the side of the material ego. And up to the point of nisha, then the scale is about equal. But on the platform of ruchi, it starts to weigh down more on the spiritual side. The scale is tipped to the spiritual ego, and this I and mine is nearly spiritualized, prayaki. But the materialistic ego is still pervasive, bahudesha vyapini. But when one's doing bhajan, there's no distraction, and one becomes absorbed for long periods of time. Next comes a platform known as a shakti. And a shakti, the spiritual aspect of ahanta and mamata, is almost complete, purna. It's complete, at that point, of a shakti. So one has some attachment. Whereas the material aspect at that point is partial, ekadesha vyapini. And the meditation at that point becomes very deep. And then comes a platform above. And on the platform above, the ego is fully absorbed in the spiritual identity and a sense of relationship with Krishna, achyantiki. And the material consciousness of I and mine is reduced to an empty shadow, a bas. He says, Vishnu says it's like the nyaya of waking up from a dream. Baditanu vritti nyaya. Just like when you wake up from a dream, you're still in the dream. But it's not actually real. So this is compared to the plan from above. Your material life is something like that dream when you wake up. So at this stage, as soon as one begins to meditate, one sees the Lord, but it's only a spurti, and it disappears. The next stage, which is all things to come in your personal lives, is a stage of prema. And on the stage of prema, the self-identification and possessiveness are completely identified with the spiritual world. They're very, very thick. On the platform above, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that the karma, this body, is completely burned, but it still looks like it's there. You may see a devotee who's a very advanced devotee, but he's still with his family, he's still paying bills, he's still doing this thing and that thing, and it looks like he has karma, but he doesn't. And Vishwanath gives a very wonderful example. If you take a log of wood and put it in the fire, and that log of wood completely burns up, nothing left can be burned, and the fire is finally finished. But if you look, you still see the form of the log. It's only made out of ashes. If you touch it, then it just falls apart into ashes. That form is compared to the so-called karma of that personality who's on the platform of Bhav. And the platform of Prem, everything is completely finished. And Vishwanath says, at that point, generally people, they leave their body. They can't stay in this material body any longer unless Krishna wants them to stay for some other purpose, particularly to preach. So this is the merging of our consciousness with Krishna and how we give up these material elements. For devotees, we should contemplate, as we stated in the beginning, the relevance of every word of the Bhagavatam, pratishloki, pratyakshari, nanartakoi, every word, every syllable of the Bhagavatam has some purport, has some relevance for me. Have faith in that. We may not be able to see it, but then we should pray and we should think very deeply. What relevance does this have to me? Now, there's a very interesting thing I'd like to share with all of you. In his Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has made a very interesting statement. Adyapi ha chaitanya e shabha lila kore jakone jahare kore drishtiyari kare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Very good news. One edition of the Bible is there called Good News for Modern Man. Well, this is real good news for modern man. Adyapiha chaitanya ai shabalila kore. Right now, adyapiha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is performing all of his leelas. Right here, in Punjabi Bagh. You can't see it, but all of Mahaprabhu's leelas are going on. And jakone jahari kari drishti adi kari. Someone who's very fortunate, they'll be able to see that, even right now. I'd like to read something to you, a very interesting thing. It's from Srila Prabhupada's purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila chapter 11, text 89. He says, Narottam Das Thakur, honoring the personal associates of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has sung as follows in Prarthana 13. Gorangera Sangigane Nityasiddha Korimane Se Jai Bradenda Sutapash. One who is intelligent, Prabhupada says, understands that all the personal associates and devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are ever liberated. This means that because they're always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, they do not belong to this material world. So they're not going to merge the vacha, the speech, with the mind, and the mind with the prana, and the prana with the apana, and with the different elements of this. They're not going to do that. Because they're already engaged in the service of the Lord, they don't belong to this material world. They're already freed from attachment to this Panchatan Matra. Their Panchagan Indriya is engaged in spirit. They don't have to go through this process of entering each one, of dissolving the body mentally into each one of these different elements. Prabhupada says, one who is engaged in the Lord's devotional service 24 hours a day and never forgets the Lord is called Nitya Siddha. I'll read it again. One who is engaged in the Lord's devotional service 24 hours a day and never forgets the Lord is called Nityasiddha. We have a lot of Nityasiddhas here in the temple, I think. This is Madhya Lila, chapter 11, text 89. Prabhupada says, one who is Nityasiddha has no business other than broadcasting the glories of the Lord all over the world according to his ability. He may be empowered, he may not be empowered. But someone who simply has no other business than preaching the Lord's glories all over the world, he's a Nityasiddha. His senses are not engaged with Panchatan Mantra. He doesn't have to dissolve the material body into the different elements and things. Prabhupada says, such people are already associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada says, one should not think that because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally present 500 years ago, only his associates were liberated. Rather, Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Nityasiddha Korimani. One should not think that because Mahaprabhu was presently 500 years ago, only his associates were liberated. Rather, Srila Narottam Das Thakur says that anyone is a Nityasiddha if he acts on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by spreading the glories of the holy name of the Lord. He said we should respect those devotees preaching the glories of the Lord as Nityasiddha and should not consider them conditioned. This is why Srila Prabhupada never instructed us that when you leave your body, you should meditate on entering into the dissolving the different elements of your body with the material elements. Don't think about that. You don't have to think about that because you're not of this material world if you're engaged in this movement. Gaura Leela is going on right now. Adya Piya Chaitanya Shabha Leela Kori Jakone Jahari Kori Drishti Adhikari. Those persons who are adhikari, drishti adhikari, they have the adhikar to see because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because of their dedication to preaching Mahaprabhu's mission, they're already Nityasiddhas. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes something about this in one article that he wrote called Associates of Sri Chaitanya. And we printed this some years ago in one of our Krishna Katamrita magazines. I'll read you just a few excerpts. It's very pertinent. He says, the appearance of Godhead in this world implies the co-appearance of all His divine paraphernalia. When the Lord appears, His paraphernalia also comes. Okay. He says, Godhead must not be conceived as in any way separable from His entourage. Krishna's never separate from His devotees. Godhead shorn of any of His paraphernalia is a delusion. If you try to separate Krishna from any of His paraphernalia, anga supanga pasuram, that's an illusion. In the same way, he says, the appearance of the divine paraphernalia involves the appearance of the divinity. When the devotees are present, it means Krishna's present. Shlokam shlokardam evacha. You read one verse of the Bhagavatam, half a verse of the Bhagavatam. Balavibhivirat, the Krishna personally comes with the gopis to that place. Krishna is always present along with the devotees. Bhaktisiddhanta says, Sri Krishna Chaitanya is an extended subject. All the six divine forms, what are the six divine forms? Means panchatattva plus one other one. What's that? That means the first verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktan. The Guru, he's the sixth aspect that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is referring to here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an extended subject. All six divine forms have to be worshipped if it's the intention to worship Sri Chaitanya. If you want to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to worship Him with all the Panchatattva and with our Guru. When we perform some Agnihotra, some fire jagya, we put six pots in our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. That's our Gurudev and the Panchatattva. And we invoke those personalities and those kundas. Excuse me. So if we want to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's an extended subject. We have to worship him along with the Pancha Tattva, which also means the devotees, headed by Srivas Thakur. We recently, in one of our Bindu magazines, gave some very beautiful prayers to Srivas Thakur and his associates, because he has a special position as a leader of all devotees. So Bhaktisiddhanta says, if it's the intention to worship Mahaprabhu, we have to worship all six forms. He says, the Guru is one of his constituents. And if we're going to approach Mahaprabhu, we also have to worship the Guru. We have to worship the devotees. And by worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way, by following the instructions given us by Guru, you're already entering in the Gaura Lila now. You're already a Nitya Siddha, even though you can't perceive it. This is the astonishing mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Adbhuta Karunya. Amazing mercy that he's given. Because he's Krishna with something extra. He's Bhakti Naipunya. He's Krishna with Bhakti, the last limit of Bhakti, with Srimati Radharani. And therefore he's Mahavadanyaya, the most munificent, because Srimati Radharani is also there with him. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvali Tamnomi Krishna Sarupam. He's in the mood of Radha. Utama adama kichuna bachi la jachi adile kakola kahe premananda emana goranga ridoya dariya bola. He doesn't consider utama adama, who's qualified and who's not qualified. But he brings everyone. And he makes everyone a resident of the spiritual world. Kaviraj Goswami says that for persons who begin this chanting, he says, mukti tucha falahoy. Nama basa hoite. Your mukti, your liberation, it's tuchafal. Very insignificant result of even nama bas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming and giving something much, much more. And it's being hinted at in this purport by Srila Prabhupada. Anvaya vyatirekabhyam yat shat sarvata sarvada. The Bhagavatam describes it either directly or indirectly. So we can understand there's something indirect in this purport. Prabhupada's writing his purport and describing how the Dichi Muni amalgamated different aspects, different elements, material elements into, from his body into the sources of those elements. And this way gave up his body. But there's something Prabhupada is saying by not saying there also. He's not saying because why didn't he emphasize this to us? If the Bhagavatam is stating this, why didn't he tell us to do this? So he's teaching us something in this purport by omission. And what is that thing of omission? That's that we should chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. Nama Yagya Mahayagya Kolokama Sanasanam Krishna Chaitanya Prityarte Nama Yagya Samarpanam. But we offer that chanting. This is a Samarpana mantra. The mantra we use to offer that chanting. Nama Yagya Mahayagya. This chanting is a great yagya. Kalo Kama Sanasanam. It'll destroy the evils of Kali Yuga. Krishna Chaitanya Prityarte. It's very dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're doing it for His pleasure. We're chanting on His behalf. And if you chant in that mood, and if you give this chanting to other people, then you're not part of this material world. You've entered into Gaura Lila already. So we'll stop there. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinda ki, Vancha Kavadarubhischa, Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha, Patita Nam Pavane, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So we have time for questions or just... Okay. We have time for one or two questions, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the very deep insights and clarifying some of the things, because even the first kind of when we see that leaving of Dhritarashtra leaving his body in the similar fashion here also. But I would like to... my question is a little different. Many times, almost every time when we talk about Mahaprabhu and his mercy, Nityananda Prabhu and his mercy, and this issue comes up that he delivered his mercy even to the people who are undeserving. So, but in our day-to-day lives, generally what we see is that if we give something to a person who is undeserving, who is not interested, so generally what he does is, you know, he squanders it. So like, is it not like many times, like I personally feel that like we brought to this moment, maybe by the undeserving, mercy was undeserving, like maybe in person, I was brought in this moment, maybe that is the prime reason, like I'm not able to like properly admire it, properly able to, you know, like value it, and resultantly there is hardly any reciprocation, because it is undeserving, it was thrust upon you, kind of that mercy, that like, we're not looking for it, we're not interested, like, how to see this, like, it's something undeserving.
I hope I can always get the association of Bhima Prasad Prabhu. Very nice comment, huh? Very deep thing. This is what Sangha is for, to be very frank and to raise points up like this. So we hear this thing, Uttama Adama Kichana Bachila, but is it true? Did I get that mercy? Do I have? He's saying that we had gotten this mercy, but we squandered it. And I was thinking, this is the story of my life. So much mercy has come, we can't even conceive how much mercy we've gotten. But we're not keeping it. My Guru Maharaj, he gave one talk and he spoke something about this. And he said that Mahaprabhu is like a lion. Singhagore. It's described in many places. His shoulders are like a lion. He roars like a lion. If you go to collect milk from a lioness, a female lion, that milk is very powerful milk. And if you go with the wrong kind of pot, if you go with a clay pot, it'll break and the milk will just go right through. You can't keep that milk. So similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's giving us some milk, some mercy. But we have to ask the question, why is it that my pot is not able to keep this mercy? The problem is we've come with a pot that has holes in it. Our pot has many holes. And we're getting mercy. We get mercy every day. Mangalarti, Tulsi Puja, Nrisimha prayers, so many wonderful things. It's inconceivable how much mercy we're getting every day. But it all runs out because we don't have a proper pot. And my Guru Maharaj said that what is that proper pot? He said, Mahaprabhu described that to us. Chanadapi sunichena charoreva sahishmana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. You'll always be able to chant. Your pot will always be full of the holy name, which is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Sankirtanaika Pitaro, the father of the Sankirtan movement. Your pot will be full, if it has no holes, if we're chanting, thinking ourselves the most fallen. Haridas Thakur, he describes this in Harinam Chintamani. Amita dama tumi adama tarana ubhaye sambandhe patita pavana. Hare Krishna. Amita Adama, I'm very fallen. Tumi Adama Tarana, and I have a connection with you. Because you're Adama Tarana, you're the deliverer of the fallen. Ubaye Sambandaye, this is my connection with you. O Patita Pavana. So this is how we'll keep that mercy of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave mercy to Jagai and Madai. I don't think anyone here is as bad as Jagai and Madai. I hope not. But how is the Jagai and Madai, they're keeping that mercy and we're not? Because Jagai and Madai became very, very humble. And they stopped their nonsense behavior. And they offered all respect to others and didn't demand any respect for themselves. And in that way, the holes of their pot became plugged. And that milk of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able to stay there. Is that okay, Prabhu? Such a nice question. He knows these things already, but he's trying to help all of us. Okay? So we have some things we have to do today, so we have to stop. శ్రీల ప్రభువారికి గో ప్రేమనంది హరి హరి బో.
Krishna Krishna Hare.